Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. Maybe Something Beautiful: How Art Transformed a Neighborhood. Written by F. Isabel Campoy and Teresa Howell, and illustrated by Rafael Lopez. I'm going to turn this book on the back first, because on the back of the book there are drawings just in black and gray of very tall buildings that look like they're offices and apartment buildings and even factories. Some of them have great big chimneys with dark smoke coming out of them. But when I turn the book around to the front, I see the picture of a little girl with great big eyes. Her hair is brown with bangs across her head. She's holding a paintbrush, and above her we see that she's been drawing butterflies and the sun and umbrellas and hearts and all kinds of more happy kinds of shapes. Let's look inside. In the heart of a gray city, there lived a girl who loved to doodle, draw, color, and paint. Every time she saw a blank piece of paper, Mira thought to herself, maybe. And because of this, her room was filled with color and her heart was filled with joy. A lot of the drawings on this first page are gray and brown again. The clouds are dark, the trees are dark. The people who are in the picture are drawn in a way that their heads are hanging down. They look kind of overwhelmed and tired. But over on one side of the picture, we see a window into Mira's room. And there she has all kinds of these happy, colorful pictures hanging from strings from her ceiling. She's drawing a picture of a little bird while a bluebird sits on a branch outside of her window. On her way to school one day, Mira gave a round apple to Mr. Henry, the owner of the shop down the street. She gave a flower to Mrs. Lopez, the lady with the sparkling eyes. Now, these aren't real apples and real flowers. They are things that she's colored and painted on pieces of colorful paper, and she's handing them as she runs to school. She gave a songbird to Mr. Sachs and a red heart to the policeman who walked up and down the streets. On her way home, Mira taped a glowing sun onto the wall hiding in the shadows. Her city was less gray, but not much. We see Mira stretching very tall because she's just a short kid, and she's putting this very happy sun picture that has green all around the outside of it, but the sun is orange and hot pink and has a big smile on its face. She's taping that up onto a wall of a building. And we see the two men, the policeman looking at the heart, and we see the other man in a long t-shirt looking at the bird. The next day, Mira saw a man with a pocket full of paintbrushes. He gazed at the wall. He looked at her son. He held his fingers up in a square and peered through them. He said thoughtfully. "What do you see?" Mira asked.
"Maybe something beautiful," the man replied.
This man has on a t-shirt with long sleeves with so many colors on it, so many stripes and colors. And in his back pocket he has three paintbrushes. He's made his hands into a shape of a square, just like kind of when you look through a lens of a camera, and he's looking at Mira's drawing that she taped on the wall. Then, just like that, he dipped a brush in the paint. Bam! Pow! The shadows scurried away. Sky blue cut through the gloom. The man's laughter was like a rainbow spreading across the sky. Now he's sort of up in the air in this picture, like he's jumping way up high. And the real sun is peeking out from some clouds, but he's actually painting on the sky. Can you tell that this story is something that's make-believe and great imagination? "Who are you?" Mira asked.
"I'm an artist," he said. "A muralist. I paint on walls."
"I'm an artist, too," she told him.
He handed Mira a brush.
"Then come on." Now he's handing her one of those big paintbrushes he had in his pocket. Mira dipped it in the loudest color she saw, which was bright red. Yowee! The wall lit up like sunshine, and she's drawing a shape that looks like a flag almost, that's all red, but it has a little bit of yellow and white on it, too. Or maybe that's just where the wall is shining through and she hasn't covered it yet. As the man drew pictures on the bricks, Mira added color, punch, and pizzazz. Soon, Mr. Sax joined in, then came others. Everyone painted to the rhythm. Salsa, merengue, bebop. Even Mira's mama painted and danced the cha-cha-cha. The whole neighborhood became a giant block party. Kids are against the walls. They're painting. The mom is out there with her apron on. She's got a great big paint bucket and a bigger kind of brush. There's another lady in a sundress, and she's dancing, and she's actually jumping up in the air. She's dancing so much. And a man with a bongo drum. He has a hat on his head and beads around his neck that are real colorful, like he's from maybe the Caribbean or something. Flowers and birds are everywhere. Until the policeman walked up.
"Excuse me," he said.
The music stopped. Mira put her brush down. They were surely in trouble. The officer cleared his throat, then paused.
"May I paint with you?"
he asked. So Mira handed him a paintbrush, and the music started again. Teachers and papas jumped in, babies too. Mira and the man handed out brush after brush. Color spread throughout the streets. So did joy. Here's a woman that's holding her little baby in her arms, but she's also dancing and painting. And there are a bunch of kids lined up waiting for their paintbrushes. Some other people are back planting some trees and planting flowers, and the policeman is just drawing away as fast as he can with his brush. The man with the hat on is climbing a ladder and painting along the top of a building that's gray. Wherever Mira and the man went, art followed like the string of a kite. After they colored the walls, they painted utility boxes and benches. They decorated sidewalks with poetry and shine, and everyone danced. Together they created something more beautiful than they had ever imagined. When their clothes were splattered with a million colors, everyone sat down to rest, except the muralist. His eyes sparkled.
"You, my friends, are all artists," he told them. "The world is your canvas."
He smiled wide, then pulled everything together in big, sweeping motions. His paintbrush was like a magic wand. All the neighborhood is sitting and watching him, and he's drawing something that, oh, I don't know, it almost looks like an octopus or something. It has all kinds of curly-Q-looking shapes that hang down like legs, but lots of colors. When he was finished, Mira added one more bird, way up in the sky. Maybe, she thought, just maybe. Remember, the name of the book was Maybe Something Beautiful. Now here's a note about the authors who wrote this book. Maybe Something Beautiful is based on a true story. At one time, the colorful East Village near downtown San Diego, California, did not have murals on the walls, nor quotes from Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and Cesar Chavez written on the sidewalks. Benches were not the works of art you can see now, and people living in the area were not part of the vibrant community that they are today. Instead, the streets were gray and drab, but one day a husband-wife team, he an artist, she a graphic designer and community leader, moved in and transformed their neighborhood into a place of beauty. Rafael and Candice Lopez designed a plan to bring people together to create art so that their neighborhood could become a better place for all to live. They held meetings in their home to share their idea. Everyone was invited: police officers, graffiti artists, teachers, single parents, children, homeless people, and more. With the help of many, the Urban Art Trail was born, and volunteers of all ages, races, and walks of life committed themselves to a common goal: reviving their community through art.
First came murals entitled The Joy of Urban Living and The Strength of the Women. Then the community painted utility boxes and benches bright colors. They crafted mosaics around the trees along the streets. Raphael and Candace had noticed that in their neighborhood, people often looked down at the ground as they walked, so they painted poems in calligraphy, which is very fancy writing, on the sidewalks. Little by little, the entire neighborhood became a work of art and an inspiration to those who lived there. The impact of art in the neighborhood grew. Some of the painted benches were auctioned off, and the money provided classes and scholarships for at-risk students who had an interest in art. Visitors came to admire. Donations, big and small, came in, and what had once seemed to be an impossible dream became a trademark of San Diego's East Village. The movement prompted by the urban art trail spread far and wide. Communities throughout the United States have commissioned Raphael's murals, and neighborhoods as far away as Canada and Australia have implemented the model of community-based art. Maybe Something Beautiful, the book, illustrated by the muralist who inspired it, was written in honor of Raphael and Candice Lopez and all the quiet leaders in our neighborhoods. It is an invitation to transform not only the walls and streets of our cities, but also the minds and hearts of our communities. Some of you may live in a town or a city where there are murals, which are paintings on city buildings. Look for them, if you can, the next time you're out. The end. The Hair of Zoe Fliefenbacher Goes to School by Laurie Hulse Anderson, illustrated by Ard Hoyt. The first page inside this book shows some long red hair. We don't see the person's head or their face, just the long curls of red hair. Zoe Fliefenbacher had one blue eye and one green eye and bright red hair that went on forever. Here's Zoe in the bathroom getting ready to brush her teeth. In her hair, she's holding her books from first grade, and she has some hangers that have her dresses on them, and she has an alarm clock that says 7:02. Down on the floor is her dog. And he's watching all this. Oh, she also has a tube of toothpaste in her hair. She's wearing a pale blue nightie with four pink roses on the front of it. When Zoe was a baby, she needed two strollers and two cribs and two high chairs, one for Zoe Fliefenbacher and one for Zoe's hair. Here we see her when she was a baby. She's sitting in the crib, and her hair is so big and so long, it's just going over the top of the crib and out through the sides. We see the two high chairs, we see the two strollers, and then we see the dog sitting up like he just can't understand what's going on. When she was 2 years old, Zoe's hair learned how to open the cookie jar. Yeah, sure enough, here we have the hair reaching up onto the counter and opening the cookie jar and spilling some cookies out. At three, her hair could turn on the TV, pour a glass of juice, pet the cat, and play on the computer all at the same time. Zoe's lying on the floor with her head on a pillow, and she's sound asleep while her hair is doing all these things that we just read about with the TV and the computer and the cat. At four, it learned to fly. Mom and Dad Fliefenbacher threw out the brushes and combs. The hair of their Zoe was wild and beautiful. It was her sail, her kite, her flag. Zoe had Mrs. Broadhag for kindergarten. Mrs. Broadhag let Zoe's hair pick up the trash, erase the board, and set the table for snack. At nap time, the hair was a comfort. Now we see the kindergarten class, and the hair is up one part of it. One big long curl is erasing the board. One is pouring snacks out. And some of the other long curls in her hair are all curled around the other kids who were lying on their little mats on the floor, just like a blanket. Zoe had Ms. Trisk for first grade. Ms. Trisk didn't fool around. "School has rules," she said. "No wild hair in my class." Ms. Trisk is an unpleasant-looking lady. In the picture, she's looking down at Zoe, whose eyes are real wide open and startled-looking. But Ms. Trisk has on a gray jacket and a tie like men usually wear. She has long painted fingernails and little glasses and short brown hair that's real tight around her head. She has a frown on her face. Zoe Fliefenbacher's hair did not listen. When Ms. Trisk wrote on the board, Zoe's hair tickled everybody. So the teacher has her back to the class while she's writing with a piece of chalk on the board, and the hair is all over the room, tickling all the other students who are laughing. Ms. Trisk sat Zoe in time out. Zoe's hair drew all over the walls. The hair got hold of some markers, and it's drawing little cartoon pictures of the teacher. It's also reaching into the terrarium where some little mice are living and tickling them. Ms. Trisk took charge of the situation. Now we see Ms. Trisk wrapping something all around the hair. It looks like a great, huge trash bag full of something on Zoe's head. But some of the curls are sneaking out, and they have markers, and they're getting ready to do some other mischief.
Big mistake.
This must stop, shouted Miss Trisk. School has rules.
In the middle of the page, Zoe is sitting with her hands over her eyes, and her hair is getting bigger, and it's actually formed itself into the shape of a dinosaur that's chasing Miss Trisk. It's also knocking over the terrarium that had the little mice in it. Ms. Trisk demanded a meeting with the principal. Zoe's hair had to wait outside. The grown-ups agreed. School had rules. That hair had to be tamed. Zoe is sitting in a chair at the principal's desk, and her mom and dad are right next to her. At the end of the desk is Ms. Trisk with her book that says Rules, and the principal even has a big cardboard sign on his desk that says RULES. On the wall it says Teacher's Mail, and the hair is going over and taking all the envelopes and papers out of the teacher's mailbox. It's also trying to type on a typewriter and write on a computer. And on a chair is the school secretary, who's all upset because the little mice have gotten into the principal's office. Zoe tried a ponytail. Here's a picture of her. She has a big blue ribbon in the back of her head, and it's holding the hair in a ponytail. But the ponytail is still picking up things like pictures and a paintbrush and paints and a little teacup with one of the mice in it and a book about snakes. It didn't work. So we tried braids, long braids that are going all the way down the length of Zoe and out onto the floor, but the braids are wrapping themselves around the chair legs of other kids' desks. No good. Zoe tried scrunchies, barrettes, clips, headbands, rubber bands, bobby pins, duct tape, all at the same time. The class held its breath and
it worked!
The hair stayed under control during spelling. A scrunchie broke during math, but the hair didn't move. Two barrettes slipped out during snack time, but the hair didn't move.
First grade has rules, Miss Trisk reminded the class.
And then she smiled. But Zoe isn't smiling. Her hair is all wrapped up. It almost looks like a great big loaf of bread on her head with the duct tape trying to hold things in. Zoe couldn't smile. It felt like all the rules in the world were sitting on top of her head. Miss Trisk started the science lesson. She held up a ball. This is the sun. She held up another ball. Mercury orbits the sun. She picked up three other balls. This is Venus, Mars, and here is Earth. She dropped the Earth. The class giggled.
First grade has rules, Miss Trisk reminded them. No giggling.
Zoe lifted her head off the desk. A bobby pin fell to the floor. One red strand of hair unfurled. Miss Trisk picked up two more balls.
Pretend that these are Jupiter and Saturn, and that all the planets are spinning and orbiting around the sun. Bam, bam, bam!
Jupiter, Mars, and Venus fell to the floor and rolled into the corner.
Bing, bing, bing!
Bobby pins rained on the floor around Zoe.
Oh, my, said Miss Trisk.
Snap, snap, rubber bands and scrunchies bounced off the ceiling.
Barrettes, headbands, and duct tape rocketed through the air. The hair of Zoe Fliefenbacher exploded into the classroom.
I can help, Zoe hollered. I know how to do it.
Whap, pop, whoosh.
The class gasped. Zoe's hair was loose. The kids grabbed their crayons and hid their scissors. Ms. Tisk dived for the gerbil's cage. Oh, those were gerbils, not little mice that we were looking at before.
Zoe smoothed her hair and raised her hand.
Please, Miss Tisk, she said. I want to help. Can I try?
Miss Tisk nodded. Zoe's hair picked up Mercury, Venus, the Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and the Sun.
The planets spin, said Miss Tisk.
Zoe's hair spun the planets.
As they orbit the Sun,
Zoe's hair twirled the planets along their paths. That day, the first grade students in Miss Trisk's room learned all about the planets. Miss Tisk learned some things, too.
My goodness, said Miss Tisk, that is some amazing hair. That's helpful hair. That's handy hair.
Zoe Fliefenbacher had one blue eye and one green eye, and handy, helpful, amazing hair that found a place in first grade. And now Miss Tisk looks so different. She's wearing a white dress with huge pink polka dots on it and a pink bracelet and pink necklace. And her hair is curled a little bit and she has on a little bit of pink lipstick. She's wearing sandals. And on the board she has written, Star Student, and she's looking right at Zoe. The little animals that I thought were mice but are gerbils are jumping up and down and cheering. The hare is also spraying the dirt off the window and cleaning it, and all the other students are sitting happily. The end.
I Am Peace, a book of mindfulness by Susan Verde, art by Peter H. Reynolds. There's a picture on the front of the book of a little person, probably a child, barefooted, wearing purple pants and a yellow long-sleeved t-shirt that has red sleeves. Around their neck is a necklace that has the peace sign on it. On their head is a striped cap that has designs including a peace sign on it, and their eyes are closed. Their arms are outstretched, and on the hand of each arm there is a dove holding an olive branch, which is a symbol for peace.
There are times when I worry about what might happen next and what happened before. The thoughts in my head are like rushing water, and I feel like a boat with no anchor.
Now the picture shows that cap that the person is wearing, and it's beginning to ravel. It's coming apart, and it's making a wave shape. And we can see the person in a little boat sitting at the top of that wave. It's as if they're imagining that that's what's happening to them.
Being carried away, and now the wave kind of tosses the boat off, and the little boat falls, and the little person falls, splash, in the water. I give myself a moment. I take a breath. And then I tell myself, it's all right. I feel the ground beneath my feet and steady myself. And now we see the person coming up out of the water where they've just gone kerplunk and standing on a pile of dirt that's surrounded by the water. But they're balancing themselves like you do if you're trying to walk across a narrow log or something. And start to notice the here and the now. My thoughts begin to settle. My mind begins to clear. I am peace. Now the little person is standing with their arms stretched out and the little doves are beginning to float down and rest on their hands, and the person closes their eyes. I can watch my worries gently pop and disappear. I let things go.
I can say what I feel inside out loud.
I know myself. All around the little person, with the bird still sitting on his hands, and also the hat, there are bubbles that are popping. They're pale pink and pale blue bubbles. I can share kindness with others. I make a difference. Here the person has a bag full of seeds, and they're holding it out so that the birds can have a snack out of the bag. I can hug a tree and thank it for its beauty and strength. I connect to nature. Now we see the person coming over to a tree, and this tree trunk is an interesting one because it's not just brown and green. It's orange and yellow and red, the trunk is. I can watch the clouds make shapes against the sky. I know wonder. Now the little person is leaning up against the tree with their hands folded across their chest, eyes closed, and all around them are cloud shapes. I can taste and smell and touch and hear and see what is all around me. I use my senses. I can feel my breath fill my whole body. I tune into me. In one of the pictures on this page, the little person has their hands out because it's begun to rain, and there are drops of rain splashing on their hands. In the other picture, we're just seeing them very restful and calm. Now the water is still. I have found my anchor and everything is all right. I don't need to worry about before or after. I am in this moment. I am peace. Now we see a long shot picture. We see that tree that was many different colors, yellow and orange and red, and now there's a little green and blue on the tree too. We see the boat the little person had described as what their thoughts were like. And it's tied to the tree, safe and sound. And the person is still resting. Now I share my peace with others. They have the bag out of seeds, and in their hand are a couple of seeds, and one of the birds has flown down to take a bite. And I hope that it is carried away to those who need it. And now the bird flies away from the person holding the bag. And I dream. We are peace. The end. Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.